Hello, hello. This is Lindsay Wilson, and you are here for Wealthy, Healthy, and Wise. We are so excited to be with you this evening. I cannot wait, if you haven't met him, to introduce you to Rodney Washington. I just want to double-check, Rodney, do I have you on the line? Not yet. I'm sure he's dialing in, so I get to sing his praises behind his back. I once had a friend who would say, you want to spread good gossip with people, and so I'm going to spread some good gossip about Rodney. Rodney comes to us with 20 years of experience doing what he does. He has created amazing results for folks around their artistry and cash. Some of the actual results he's done recently, and I find these amazing. He worked with a coach who was working like crazy and is now generating over 10K a month. He oversaw the production and launch of a national food blog and magazine that secured sponsorship from a major cable network, and they got over 3,000 new Facebook followers in less than 60 days. He mentored a talented artist and illustrator, an animal rights activist, and transformed her portfolio into a children's book that got published, a party planning service, and a product line. What I love most about Rodney is his heart. And if you talk to anyone who's met Rodney or worked with him, what they say is that he has a very sincere, warm personality and fatherly, I'm stumbling on my words today, I apologize, a fatherly-like mentoring demeanor. So Rodney comes to us with 20 years in photography, being an artist, an author, a trainer, and an entrepreneur mentor. And I can't wait to talk to him tonight. I know that for myself, having gone to acting school and graduating with a college degree, I finished with a fabulous artistic skill and a total inability to generate cash. So I am delighted this evening to introduce Rodney, and he will talk to us about how to generate money for artists. Rodney, are you with us?
I am here.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I've stumbled on 5 million words about you, and I apologize in advance. All my acting training would say, Lindsay, why are you not in the moment? Why are you not present in your body? What's your tongue doing? But I would also say that having a new baby, sometimes I come up with the weirdest sentences in the world, so you'll forgive me.
Yes, you're all forgiven. Awesome.
It's the most creative endeavor I've ever experienced. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Of course, you know, we have a little technical stuff going on, so I was on the line, and then I got bumped off, and I said, okay, that just means, what does it say when you're getting ready to go on stage to break a leg, or if something goes wrong, that means
absolutely.
You're going to have a good show?
Always. Absolutely. Absolutely. I always used to say when I produced shows, you want to plan for one of the lighting instruments to fall down in the middle of the performance on the stage, because then everything else sort of falls into perspective. And as long as no one is hit by the falling lighting instrument, everything is okay. So absolutely, I think embracing challenges is half of the path being an entrepreneur. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely, without question.
How do people cope that you coach with things like adversity? How do you help people when they've been desperate to get one sponsorship deal, or they've got one path to cash that they figured out that they want to work, and when things don't work out for them? What kinds of things do you do with folks in that situation?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that, Lindsay. Well, you know, the first thing I do is I do what I tell myself when I'm having those moments, is I tell myself to breathe, because we forget to breathe. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
when we are in moments what could be construed as crisis, because what we construe as a crisis never is really as much of a crisis, unless, of course, it's a life or death situation. But, you know, to get yourself back into your body, because one thing I can honestly say that I have learned, whenever I ask for something, and I share this with my clients all the time, whenever I ask for something or I get in my mind that there's something that I want to have created in my life, I really picked this up years ago. I always understand that I have my timeline and what things I want to create, and then I know that the universe, and I'll go there and say that God has his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be willing to stay open to his revisions. I can write the plan, but I have to be open to his revisions. You know, and so whenever I make a decision that I want something, I never attach to too much to things coming out exactly the way I want, because if you do, how can you leave room for something better?
I love it.
You know?
Yeah.
You have to be willing to let something bigger and better. Oprah always says that God can dream a bigger dream than you can ever dream for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, you know, this is what I'd like to do. This is what I'm thinking this is supposed to be. And I've even gone so far as to say, if this is not for my highest good, if this isn't supposed to work out for me,
wow.
you know, stop it, block it, you know, and make me understand that that's what this is. And then began to shift my focus and look where else I'm really supposed to be looking. And I have found in my experience, Lindsay, that the most profound things in my life I have ever manifested happened when I got out of the way.
Yeah, totally.
So if you're going for something and it's not happening and you're frustrated by it, it's just a sign that something better is coming. Stop, breathe.
Yep.
And let what needs to come in. And usually it's so subtle. It comes in a way that's so subtle and so soft and so clear that you just almost would think, oh, that's too simple. That's not going to work.
Right.
And
right.
I can, you know, you and I both know the story of me. It's like, you know, I made a decision, which we'll talk about a little later, about the power of decisions. And I made a decision that I, you know, wanted a certain thing in my life, but I left the door open to how it was going to manifest itself, you know, through some talking that you and I had done. I took an action that seemed so, just so insignificant, but it literally within weeks shifted everything for me because I took a simple action. So it really is about, you know, stop fighting, stop pushing so hard, and let something bigger come in, and just ask, I want to be ready to receive it when it comes, because it's coming, you know,
right.
But you have to be ready to receive it, you know?
I think it's so interesting to me on two fronts. First of all, I had not really thought about what a creative process it is being an entrepreneur, but you have to be so incredibly flexible and sensitive and present to run your own business and to really be able to make it through the ups and the downs, because it's not like working for a major corporation. It's very emotional, I find. And I think that it's, you know, like when you are your own employee, I'm my hardest person to manage. I can manage anybody else. I have to deal with, you know, all of my own flaws and, like, how do I want to cope with those flaws? And so I think it's fascinating that just from the very beginning, we're talking about a process that, you know, sometimes being in business can feel like a really linear, numbers-driven, hard, cold kind of thing. But right off the bat, to see that it's actually something that can really fit artists really well, I think it's interesting. So before I bring up my next point, I'm going to let you talk about that a little bit if you want to, because I think I've said a mouthful.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I, you know, you mentioned, you know, your son at the beginning of the call, and I equate for artists is, you know, whether you have children or not, but I'm going to speak in terms of, you know, someone not having children, it's the closest thing, because it's essentially like you're holding up your kid and saying, do you like him? Do you want to buy him? You know, you know, you're putting a sticker on his head, and you want him, people, you're leaving it open for someone to judge. And it is very... it makes it, I mean, I have these conversations, Lindsay, all the time. It's just, it's so hard to do that separation. I find it with myself. I mean, I need to have support and someone else to come in that's not in my everyday space, in my head, seeing things that I can't see. You know, pointing out things that I've missed, a comma that didn't go there, or could you think about rewarding it there, or something of that nature. And so it's absolutely, you know, to put it bluntly, it's insane to think that you can do this all by yourself. You just, it's impossible to do. There's no such thing as a self-made millionaire.
No.
You know, you have to have a team. You have to have people supporting you, holding up, you know, holding you up when you feel like just wanting to crawl under the covers like I did last night.
Right on.
You know, just having, you know, having someone there that can really say, you know what, I get it. You're having a moment, and it's okay, and it's going to pass, and I'm going to let you have the moment, but you got to get back to work. You know? And
I
when
love
you're
it.
Self-employed, you don't have that always. So you have to go out, and guess what? You have to create it.
I love that you share vulnerably about your process also. I think it takes, obviously, real strength to be able to say, you know, like, last night wasn't a fabulous night, but half of the deal is you possess such knowledge. I know one of the things that we're going to talk about today is that you are so clear about the multiple streams of income that exist for artists in a way that, my Lord, like, I'm like, I don't even know that I could come up with half of those. So I can't wait to hear more about that. So if you're tuned in and you're thinking, I need nuts and bolts, please know that we're going to get to serious nuts and bolts soon. But I think it's really profound that you're really able to say, you know, like, some days are difficult. That's just part of this. Your feelings do get hurt. And I cannot imagine putting a price tag on my son's head. I think it's a great analogy. It makes me feel like it's better to get out of my way if you're not going to. Yeah, but anyway. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can I draw there's an interesting idea, too, that I want to say about the idea that something better sometimes comes in than what we're expecting. I always used to tell people, when I was selling real estate and training people to sell real estate, that so someone won't buy something that's expensive and you get upset and it doesn't feel great. And the deal is this, that if you've done all the work for someone to come buy something, it may not be that person standing in front of you, but I would always use baseball analogies and I'd say it's like being a catcher. You have to keep your glove up because I promise you the next person who walks in the door is going to require no work and buy something really expensive. So I think part of being an entrepreneur is also recognizing that it's like, so you just take the actions and then you don't, it's exactly what you said, I'm just repeating you, but you don't put expectation on the results because the results are coming. But I think a lot of times we just don't know enough to think big enough or take consistent action or be out of our way enough so that those big results can come. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Lindsay, because that really is the key that I find myself really wanting to just, you know, I talk about this so passionately because I've seen it again in my own life and with others I've worked with over and over and over again, is thinking big enough, you know. People, if you really look at art, and I'm using the term art here, almost metaphorically, because, I mean, anyone with a creative passion is an artist in their own way, whether you're writing a book or you're doing speeches or you're selling cupcakes or you're doing blogs or whatever it is. I mean, I consider all of it a part of that umbrella. But, when you're starting out, I think that, and maybe because of the economy has been so challenging in the last few years, is that we immediately go into the mode of thinking that we have to start slashing prices and thinking smaller. And you obviously want to have what I call entry-level price point things available for people to, you know, they're basically just a no-brainer for them to be able to get. And sometimes that's all people can do. That's all they can handle right now. I mean, I've personally done art shows myself where I had all of these big things I was going to sell, and I'd done all this matting and framing, and then the night before the show I said, I'm going to throw together a bunch of little note cards for $5 and put them in a basket. If the note cards weren't there, not only would I have not made as much money as I wanted to make, but the note cards made them buy the bigger pieces.
Right.
Because they had something that was easier for them. You know, it's like when you hold out your hand in front of a dog that you don't know and let them kind of sniff you a little bit first to see if you're okay.
Yeah, that is brilliant. I love analogy. That's so smart.
You know, it's the same idea. You know, when you walk into, you know, you walk into a, like a Starbucks and they have like the little samples of biscotti.
Yes.
You know, ask yourself, what do I have that's a no-brainer? Not something that's cheap or low price, but what do I have to offer someone either on my website or in person? They don't have to think about it. And to me, if it's under $10, it's a no-brainer.
I love it. That's really smart.
Because that invites them into your world, and it goes into what I want to share with you more, in the call, is that people outside of your realm, meaning, let's just say, for an example, you're a photographer or you've had a certain level of success, you've done well. And I don't want to say, just whatever it is, you've done well enough that people outside of that world in a 9-to-5 job really just look at you in awe and wonder, how do they do it? For them, you, what I equated even just a few days ago, you are a miraculous fantasy to them. The fact that you live your world in this world and you've managed to have any success in it, to them, if they're in an office, a 9-to-5, and they hate what they're doing, they want to do something more creative, they don't even know where to begin to start, but you're out there living it. You're taking the knocks, you're doing what's required, and you're making it happen. You're a fantasy to them. I know when I first got started, Lindsay, that was me. I would have paid anybody to tell me how to get into the business because the books weren't available. I found an occasional magazine article every now and again. When I reached out to people who were working in the industry, they either wouldn't return my phone calls or wouldn't return my emails. So I had to literally do it by trial and error. But now the world that we live in where everyone has a gift that someone else deems as a fantasy for them, something that's just miraculous to them. They want to know how you do what you do. Easily that can be a VIP day for them. Bring them into your world. Show them your process.
Brilliant.
You know, most artists don't think that way. They think, well, you know, if I'm not selling the print on the wall, I can't make money.
Right. So talk a little bit about a VIP day, because if I were an artist and I was listening to you, and for instance, I made jewelry, I wouldn't understand what you mean about how, because a VIP day, I mean, how much do people pay you for a VIP day?
I average between $2,500 to $5,000 for a VIP day.
Okay. So if I'm making jewelry that sells for $50 a piece, to make $5,000 in a day is like, if I'm stuck thinking small, something that I can't put the dots together on. So talk to me about what a VIP day would look like for someone who makes jewelry.
Okay, wonderful. Great question. So, you know, first of all, obviously you want to put yourself in the space of people who actually that price point would not, you know, be a blink to them. Probably someone that's probably in an executive job right now that, you know, they're probably making probably six figures. And, you know, they're doing well, but they're creatively just stifled. And they probably dabble a little bit with jewelry on the side, but they really, you know, they don't really know the whole inner workings. So say you've been doing this for quite some time, you've done several trade shows, you know the gift shows, you know how to set up booths, you know how to find the best suppliers, you know where to find the best packagers to put your things together and for boxes. You know how to set your website up, that it processes the sales properly, and all of that. Right. You literally could sit down with someone that they really have the dream of being a successful jewelry designer and map out a whole day for them where you literally take them step by step through your process. The thing that you do that you've worked so hard to acquire that has now become common knowledge to you is not common knowledge to everybody.
Mm-mm. Not at all. It's so smart. I would have I don't know, but when I was acting, I needed you. Because I can think of it from the perspective of what I do now, but I would have never thought of that. And it's so smart, it makes me crazy. Like, that's just utterly genius. Okay, so before we start talking about more streams of income and other specifics like that, let's make sure that we deliver the results we promised in the call, because I know that folks have signed on to hear those. And so let's knock those out. Is that good?
Sure.
Brilliant. Okay, so first we talked about that people will be able to learn the importance of creating a big personal vision for their business. So tell us about that.
Well, what that really is, Lindsay, again, is a whole thing I spoke about earlier about thinking big. You know, if you're focusing your energy around only about making enough money every month to cover the rent, that's all you'll ever make. It has to be something bigger than you, I feel, in order for you to be able to really stay with it when you have those moments when things get, you know, they get a little challenging. I share a story with you about one of my clients that is a children's book author. When she came to me, she was an event planner. She still does some events, but we shifted the way she now uses her event planning training. And we were sitting down talking, and she was showing, well, we actually were talking about her event planning business, which I personally wasn't feeling a lot of energy around. And as we were sitting down talking, she had on the table a portfolio, or looking like a portfolio to me. And I asked her about it, and she told me, oh, these are my illustrations. And I said, do you mind if I look? And she says, I don't even know why I grabbed these, because that's not what this meeting's about. And so as I was going through the images, I immediately saw a book. And I said to her, I says, well, had you thought about putting this together in a book? And she was like, well, no, I thought about doing shows and things like that. And I said, no, I see this as a book. I was able to speak to that because I had done my own book prior, so I understood how to assemble it. So literally in 1 month's time, we assembled the book, we assembled a blog for her, and you know, and we got her out there. She's now, her bigger message is about, well, she has two actually, but her bigger message is about teaching children to treat animals more humanely. That's her bigger message. Her children's book and illustrations is just the way that she, again, it's her door opener. It's her entry point piece. So all of the sales don't come from just the book itself, but it's the way that she gets it into the hands of children, and they start learning about her relationship with her own pet that she has now, which the story is centered around. And so she's now, the book is now being used as a fundraiser to raise money for awareness of animal cruelty. That's her big mission, and she uses her stories in her book to basically connect. And people love her books. They love her story. You know, that's her platform. She uses it now pretty much in every single thing that she does in terms of her marketing. And the book literally sells itself. I mean, and she's a go-getter. I mean, when we got the books printed and they got them done, she said, I'm telling everyone about it. I mean, we would be sitting in Starbucks having coffee, and she's talking about this book. You know,
that's brilliant.
And I love that. So, you know, that's her, you know, that's her bigger dream. Her bigger dream is to basically raise awareness about this, and she feels in her heart intently that people, you know, children, you know, you teach people how to be better adults when they're children. So she wants to get in the hands of children while they're still young and they're learning to read.
I love that. It's utterly brilliant. And how good does she feel now?
Oh, she feels amazing. I mean, she recently, which I can't wait to share with you. I've been waiting for this all day. She recently called me a couple of days ago and told me that, talking about the subject of multiple streams of income, because she's developed a party planning service as a result of the book. So she has these central themed parties based around the story inside the book. And she has all kinds of products like T-shirts and baseball caps and things like that and stuff. But now the new one that's just fell in her lap is people are calling her, asking her to come and basically communicate with their pet like a pet whisperer. And she's been getting...
I need her. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, my gosh, I do.
She's been getting calls out the wazoo for that. So, you know, that's what I said before about letting something bigger come in than what, you know, than what you're thinking when you initially started. You know, all these opportunities are just landing in her lap because she has no problem going out, sharing her bigger message and using her story as a way to connect with people. So it's amazing.
That's
I love it.
That's outstanding. Our cat just went on Prozac, so I'm totally not kidding that I'm going to get her information from you.
I will do that. She lives in L.A. with you, so I will do that. I'll make sure you have it, absolutely.
If anyone else needs to get in touch with Rodney, let me just tell you how to do that really fast. You'll have all these requests for people who will have pets that need help. But you can go to facebook.com/Rodney.L. Washington. So that's facebook.com/Rodney.L. Washington. So I love that story. That's amazing. It just blows me away because it's also this thing of like we keep ourselves in a box of what we want the outcome to look like, and the world might need something entirely different from us. Like she may be able to help so many animals that it could be like beyond her wildest dreams. But I think sometimes out of fear. I don't know, what do you think it is that keeps people sort of attached to living small?
It's fear. I mean, I can speak it from personal experience because, I mean, it kept me in a career for years that I absolutely despised. And it was literally in the moment of literally making a decision. And that's really something that I just can't emphasize strongly enough. You know, it doesn't the biggest thing I can leave on this call with you is that it does not happen. The goals that you want to have, they don't happen when you ask for it and then the plan is all laid out for you and it's typed up nice and neat and it's handed to you in a beautiful portfolio and it says if you just follow this recipe, your life's going to be beautiful. I wish it did. If I could, I'd be a multimillionaire right now. It doesn't work like that. It literally comes down to a simple decision. You have to decide what it is that you want your life to be. And you make the decision, and then you say, you let it go. Show me what the next step is. What's the next step I need to take? And that's all you're going to get. Because if you're really a person who's not really comfortable yet with listening to your intuition, you're not comfortable yet with really hearing those messages from your inner prompting, I know for me personally, if I got the whole plan laid out for me, I know I would mess it up because I'd question it and I'd pick it apart and all of that kind of thing. So now I just say, just show me the next step. And then don't give me any more until I take that step. And then once I do that, you get the next piece and the next piece. And literally, that's how it happens. I can say that so firmly. Because I live it every day of my life. I ask, just show me the next thing. Don't give me any more, because I can't handle it today. Just give me the one piece.
You are so funny, Rodney. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really good. That's really good. I think, too, though, what's important is that there does need to be a plan as well. Like, the next step needs to make sense. And there needs to be some overarching. Like, I just know that when I loved acting, and I didn't know the next step. Like, I didn't have any idea whatsoever, so I was just sort of swimming around, you know, in the muck. And so I think there's also a piece to be said about, you know, with your business, you plan, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I definitely have, you know, I definitely have my big vision. That goes back to the story about the big vision. You know, I know who I want to impact. I know the community at large I want to impact. I know that my mission is to eradicate the term starving artist. There's no reason to. If you're selling anything, you can sell multiple things.
Yeah,
you just have to be willing to stay open to the different ways that you can repurpose and repackage what you offer and stay in constant communication. You know, whatever it is that you do, you know, I like to use the goal is that your work shouldn't sleep in your house.
Say that again. That's brilliant.
Your work should never sleep in your house. It needs to be in a store. It needs to be in a gallery. It needs to be in it needs to be somewhere where people can connect to it and you with them.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
You know.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love it. I absolutely adore it. So let's go on and talk about finding hidden money in people's businesses. So how do you do that?
I love this piece. You know, this is the one, so you can tell this really gets me excited.
Yes, I can.
Well, you know, I always say that again, if you can sell one thing, you can sell multiple things. So I love when someone comes to me and they say, you know, I have this project or I'm doing this thing and, you know, nothing is happening with that or it's not, the sales aren't moving as rapidly as they could or whatever. And most of the time, all you need is a slight 2 or 3 degree shift just to open up a whole new market for yourself. So I always ask, you know, how many different things are you currently offering right now? If someone is, like I said, I'll use a photographer for an example, as I use him because he's really been a great inspiration to me.
Sure.
You know, I'll say, you know, his thing was he was just doing magazine work, and that was starting to dry up for him. So we had had some several discussions about him beginning to want to build up his collector base. So it got to a point where the magazine he was working for was having difficulty paying him his fees. So he negotiated with them to actually get a full-page ad in the magazine showcasing his work, which was also used on the cover, to go to a link to his website where they could begin to build his subscriber base. Now, this ad, hey, he bought it, would have been easily a $5,000 or $10,000 ad, but he was able to get it for free, for way more than what they were offering to pay him, you know, in his fee. But it helped him to exponentially grow his list because he already had a following. He had shot 33 consecutive covers for this magazine.
Wow.
So he already had a following to begin with. So the ad inside of the magazine was strictly like almost like a fine art piece. And it was very simple, very clean. Just go to the website and sign up to get on his mailing list. He was able then to build his collector's list as a result of that. And he was saying to me, he said, you know, I've got an idea about offering basically like a membership club. So I'm going to basically take six of my prints and I'm going to offer them to be delivered once a month for 6 months for a set price.
Brilliant.
Someone else would have just said possibly, oh, well, I'll sell one picture and that's it. But, you know, he built in recurring income for himself because obviously they're on for 6 months. They'll renew for another 6 months.
Brilliant.
You know, but that's a way of like sort of taking what you already do and looking for ways that you can create what I call multi-sensory experiences for your audience. You know, he's been able to do this through literally offering a day where you can come and spend the day with him and he'll create a whole portfolio for you. You know, you go out and have lunch with him. He even coaches and talks to you about how you can use his portfolio to actually get work because he's connected with agents.
Wow. So smart. It's so smart.
You know?
It's just, I mean, what strikes me, and I know that you serve your community well, but there's no one that shouldn't work for you. Excuse the double negative. There are so many people who could use the information that you're suggesting. I just think like any entrepreneur could learn from you. So it's if you're listening and you're not an artist, you're totally in the right place because that's utterly freaking genius. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
really
it's really
smart.
Well, it's really about, you know, and to me, that's another reason why I say, you know, you yourself, the artist individual, you are a work of art. I mean, there's no one else like you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one else like us. We're one of a kind. So not just the physical work we create ourselves, but ourselves as a person is a work of art. And you need to be out there connecting with people. I mean, he's able to offer those experiences to his clients because he keeps connected with agents, magazine publishers. You know, he keeps that base open so that when a client comes to him, yes, he can take your picture, but he can also show you where to get it placed. He can also help you possibly get it published in the magazine he works for. He can also take those pictures and turn them into prints. He can also use those pictures and turn them into a poster series. I mean, he's got four or five income streams just going within that one thing, you know.
Brilliant.
And it's just a matter of just shifting, just slightly shifting. Who am I connected to? How can I add more value to what I do through my connections?
Yeah, so smart, Rodney. It's so good.
You know?
It's so good. It's so good. So let's talk about the importance of story and how it relates to sales, because then I want to go through more of the stuff about multiple streams of income.
Oh, wonderful. You know, story is really what copywriters use a lot to pull people in when they're reading a sales page, for an example. You know, you want what you talk about to be relatable. So when people read or they hear you, they get it. They're invited into your world. Story allows you to be able to easily invite people into your world in a way that's not talking about buy this thing. You know. So for an example, I'll use my client that runs a national food blog. We came up with the name for his food blog as a result of his dog, who actually is extremely finicky. He only likes the freshest, high-quality ingredients. He will not eat anything that is not, he just won't, I mean, he's almost like a cat. He won't eat certain things. He just won't do it. You know, he's not one of those dogs, you give him anything and he'll just run and grab it. And when we were having our VIP day, I was trying to think of what we're going to name his blog. And I love the dog's name. And I just, it came to me like in a dream. I said, oh, Stitches and Dishes, we'll name the blog after this. So when we sat down to have our meeting the next day, I threw it out to them, and of course they loved it. And that's what we went with. And so the dog is used as the logo, and he's as the mascot, and when they go on reviews, they take him with them. And of course everyone wants to know about the dog. And it pulls them all in, and they tell about his story and how, you know, he only likes to eat certain things, and you know, we sort of write with a gourmet slant to our writing, that kind of thing. So that's the story that you know, that we use, and people just love it, you know, is because it's just something that's different. And you know, and he has his own column, and he's just, you know, he's just he has the sweetest disposition in the world. But the dog is like what, you know, is what's used as a part of the message, a part of the story. And whenever you tell the story about that, people want to go check out the blog. And now it's to the point, I was recently told, that when they go on site reviews, people instantly know that they're those food bloggers because they see the dog first.
Awesome. I love it. So unbelievably smart, because it's also a real testament to the fact that being in business and being successful at business doesn't mean that you have to be dry or give up your creativity. I mean, there are utterly brilliant, really creative ways to be a business person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I just say with anyone, you know, I'd like to leave this question to everyone listening, you know, is ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing?
Mm.
You know, what motivated you to start doing what you're doing? And it doesn't, you know, it can be great if it's a nice, sweet, little, fun, playful story, like, you know, about my client I just mentioned a moment ago. But it could also be a story, you know, that for some might be a little bit harder to hear, but someone relates to that story. You know, for an example, you know, I know of someone who, a client that I have of mine, that, you know, their brother passed away of cancer when he was a young boy, and she dedicates the book to him.
Yeah.
And she reads that story. She goes to cancer wards, and she reads from her book to other children, you know, that have struggling with cancer. So, you know, it's wonderful if it can be a sweet, playful story, but, you know, don't be afraid of sometimes what can be considered the darker stuff or the things that are a little bit, you know, a little bit more challenging to talk about, because everyone, you want to be relatable to people. You want people to understand that you understand my pain, you understand my dream, or you understand my goal. And and don't be afraid to share that. You know, when you're talking about it, don't be afraid to share that with people. Because it endears them to you. As you know, as you and I have spoke about this many times, people buy from other people, not just the stuff that you're selling. You know? So you want to be relatable. You want people to get to, you know, feel like they know you. And then that is the key to sales. So I just say, you know, share it. Talk about it. It's wonderful.
And I think, too, it's like if you have amazing artistic qualities and you're not gifting other people the experience of those. If you're sitting at home, I sometimes call it like, I want to take my toys and go home. Like, I don't want to play with other kids. But if you're keeping all your toys at home, if your artistry exists just within you and you're not out there being that person, like, that's not the point. People really need you. And so people need the stories about people who have, I mean, so many people have brothers who die of cancer. You know, business can be the most healing thing. If you really follow it, and if you really face your fears, the difference between, you know, keeping your art at home and being out there in the world really involves with the folks who need you and providing things at a high level of service. It's a game changer, don't you find?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, to me, you cannot be, especially an artist, but, you know, any entrepreneur, but you really can't be an artist and not create from that story. whether it's pain or whether it is joy and elation. That's where your fuel comes from to create it. Why would you regulate it to only being told on the canvas?
Right.
You know?
Oh, my gosh. I could, like, start a whole tangential conversation, which I will not do, but there is so much to talk about, Rodney. We're going to have to talk more about this later. So let me direct you to where we can start talking about more stuff about multiple streams of income if you'd like to. You can go to Artists Cash, that's ArtistsCash.com. So it's ArtistCash.com. And if you'll scroll down under the picture of the founder of Stitches and Dishes, Christopher, you'll see in the middle of the page with a black shirt on, and it says Module 1, Your Income Portfolio. We're going to talk about some of the pieces that are in Rodney's upcoming program because I am fascinated. So let's talk about, I love where you say in here that you can only use, or you could conceivably use just two or three of your top 10 income streams and generate a mid 5 to 6 figure business. That's insane, Rodney. That's brilliant. That's real?
Yes. I mean, you know, the thing of it is, as I said before, is that, well, first I want to just back up a little bit and discuss a little bit about what I mean by portfolio, because, you know, artists understand that terminology. You know, portfolio is how an artist communicates their work to buyers, to art buyers. But I also looked at it as I was creating this program, and another group of people that uses the term portfolio are people who are stock investors.
Brilliant.
So I looked at it as your portfolio really is very tied to, obviously, your money and how you're generating income. And many artists only tend to think of one way that's worked that they know of so far to generate income. But I invite you to look at creating a portfolio of income streams, not just the one that may be working for you now or not working as effectively as it once was in the past. Now, in terms of a portfolio for income or for artists in general, is a portfolio that's shown to a potential art buyer, for an example, has to have the elements of cohesiveness. There needs to be one consistent story told throughout the work, the body of work. You know, you can't pick different themes up because then the buyer doesn't understand what it is that you're selling. You also need to have, obviously, your best work. It's better to have a handful of things working better for you than a large mishmash of things that are confusing and non-relatable. So you want to show only the best of the best. Obviously, in terms of an income portfolio, you want to work the things that are working and then drop or push back the things that are not working as well as they could right now. You know, maybe they need more time to percolate. So you'd rather have two or three, I find in my experience, two to three, sometimes it can be a little bit three or four, but two or three income streams that are really working strongly for you, that are feeding off of each other, than to have your energy so diluted chasing after 10 different bunnies, if you will, and not catching any. Now, if you keep it all relatable, so what I mean by that is that you want your income streams to be very tied to one another. An easy example of this is my client I mentioned with the book. You know, she started the book, and that was the first income stream. Then the income stream that spun off from that was selling individual prints featured from within the book. And then that went into putting those in other ancillary products like T-shirts and coffee mugs and things like that. Once those things were in place, then she was able to leverage, well, her message was getting out doing readings, so that helped her get connected to people, children in this particular case, and then that led to her doing the parties, because then she had all the supplies to do the private-themed parties that was centered around the theme of the story in the book.
So smart.
So those things were all tied in together. So you want everything to be tied in together. That way you're not diluting your energy so much that you don't know what you're working on. You don't know what how it all fits. It's easier also to track your income and expenses. You can control your expenses better because you're tying everything underneath under one umbrella as opposed to doing, face painting on Thursday and baking cupcakes on Friday or, you know, and doing something else totally different on Sunday. It's right. Like when you tell someone what you do, they don't know what car do you want. You know, you want it to be
all
under one umbrella. You know, it goes back to what it was speaking about, the jewelry designer example. You know, yes, you have your jewelry designs that you do, and you may sell those on consignment through shops, and you may do that through trade shows, but you also may decide to teach jewelry making classes. Great. What about the supplies? Okay, can you put together kits that include all the tools so they don't have to go out looking for the beads and the wires and the tool, the string, and all of the things that are required to replicate what they learned from you in the live class outside of the class if they want to do things on their own. You know, so you work out deals with suppliers in order to be able to build your own kits and then sell those things. Obviously, you can make instructional videos, instructional DVDs, do webinars, record those. You can sell those things as a part of the program or part of the kit. You know, one-day workshops. I mean, there's just a multitude of things, but they all tie under one umbrella, one central thing.
It's brilliant. And do you recommend that people have different price points so that they're different, or do you recommend that they all be the same price, or does it depend on the artist?
I think the price point, you know, again, it depends upon who you're connecting with. Obviously, if you're, you know, if you're connecting with people who are sort of entry level, I would say, you know, they might be only interested in investing with you up to a certain amount. But again, the best way to learn what they want, obviously, is to ask them what they want. And, you know, I can't emphasize that strongly enough, to always be in communication by simply using a technique which I learned from you is, I'm thinking about creating this. You know.
Right? Doesn't it work well?
Oh, it works brilliantly. You know, you just say that question, and they'll tell you.
Yep.
They'll tell you instantly. You know,
I don't want that
mug, you know,
or I would love that $10,000 print. Absolutely,
it's the easiest, because you're not guessing. You're not guessing anymore what people want. You're just, you know, that's why I say you need to always be in communication with people, and it's why I think every artist should have some kind of a teaching element in their income portfolio and marketing mix, because it's the greatest way to really also showcase what you do, but also to be in direct communication with buyers.
I think it's genius. That's awesome. So let's talk about the second module, because I am certain that the words "your money plan" are exciting and terrifying all at once to someone. So in your program, what do you do when you take a look at the money plan?
In the money plan, you know, this is where it does get, it's so funny that you said that it gets scary, because it, you know, for a lot of creatives, that part does get scary. But the reality of it is that, you know, you are running a business, and it has to be treated as one in order for you to be able to make money from it. And you need to have a goal for what you want to create. You know, if you decide to create a painting, you know, you need to know what supplies you need, and you know, and you have to cost that out to go out and acquire it in order for you to be able to create whatever it is you're going to create. So your income should be no different. You know, once you've developed your portfolio, then you can start to see, okay, I've got this much coming in from this, from direct sales of this item. I have this much coming in from classes. I have this much coming in from private consultations. I have this much coming in from book sales. This much coming in from, you know, say if you do a VIP day. And so that way you can begin to see on paper what you can push more in order to get the money goal that you have. So everyone should have a money plan, a money goal every month. And, you know, and it doesn't matter as much that you hit it immediately as much as you having one to begin with, in order for you to track what's happening and then modify based on the results you received the prior month.
I think it's utterly genius, because I think this is where freedom comes also. It's like if you're struggling with money and you're not clear about it, you're not going to quit struggling. So even though it's scary, it's not a reason not to do it. Like, the freedom that you get financially comes from having clarity. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as many of the other speakers, Kevra and Denise, spoke about on the call prior, is that having, I think every single person listening to this needs to have much more in-depth clarity around the way money works. Because artists tend to just not want to think about money, which is why so many artists are starving.
I think I would have to say really successful artists, I'm totally interrupting you, I apologize, but can I do it for 1 second?
Do.
The really well-off artists aren't avoiding thoughts of money. Like, they're clear about it. It's not an accident that they're making cash.
Yeah.
And what did I interrupt about?
No, and I'm glad you brought that up because I want to put an addendum onto that. And if you are harboring any resentment towards those who are clear about money, stop and ask yourself what that's about.
Okay, so can I go on a tangent just for one little second?
Sure.
Julia Cameron does this awesome exercise called the jealousy map, and basically she boils it down. I think it's in her book, The Artist's Way, that, like, if you hate someone, it's because they're taking the actions that you're too afraid to take. So God bless Gwyneth Paltrow. I now feel really happy for her, but when I was an actress, I wanted to kill her. And I had to look at the fact that, like, she was out there auditioning, obviously, or probably not even auditioning anymore, and I wasn't even doing that. So it was really clarifying. So that point that you're bringing up really hits home with me. I mean, it's like if you have a chip on your shoulder about money and you're a starving artist, ding, 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 I'll tell you how you can solve it. You know, you got to unpack the chip and start looking at it with Rodney, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And we go into that, too, because it's not just about the numbers and the nuts and bolts. We go into the emotional stuff, too, because
that's
the cornerstone.
Awesome.
It's the cornerstone.
Yeah, and here's the other thing that I have to say. You are such a safe, warm, lovely place. Like, for anyone who has any fear around any of this stuff, like, there is no better person to work with than Rodney, because you couldn't be in better hands. I would trust you. I'd trust you with my kid. I trust you with anything. I mean, like, if this is a place that you feel stuck and you're thinking, oh, crap, I should unpack the chip on my shoulder, but I don't know Rodney, or I don't know if I'm ready or whatever. Like, the doorbell is ringing and you want to answer it, because Rodney is, like, the safest, warmest, nicest place to do it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very honored to hear you say that, because it's what I created. My goal in creating what I've created is to create what I wished I'd had accessible to me when I started.
Mm.
You know, because it just wasn't there.
Yeah,
And that makes the road a lot harder. So I wanted to create a community and a space where, you know, you can come to me, lay it on me. You know, I can handle it. You know, I dealt with high-end people for years in my former job that had demands far greater than someone having a meltdown because their work's not selling today. So trust me,
right.
I can handle it. Lay it on me. I can handle it.
Awesome. I love it. So let's talk about Module 3, which is connecting to your buyers. I think this is probably something that a lot of artists don't think about.
Yes. You know, again, this is all about, you know, marketing. To me, you know, connection is obviously about communication, and communication is marketing, or marketing is communication. You know, when we think about marketing, a lot of times this idea comes into our head of doing something, you know, sleazy, or doing something that's pushy, or, you know, the used car salesman analogy. And it really is not that at all. I mean, obviously there are people who do that, and sometimes it works for them, and sometimes it doesn't. But what I really invite you know, my students and my clients to work with on is just to remain, be yourself, be natural, be passionate about what you're talking about, and that comes through, and be willing to just to talk about what you do and talk about your story. Like I said, find that commonality between yourself and your buyer and what they want, what their dream is, and just share that, you know, share that with them. You find that common thread and get it away from, I've got to sell this person on what I have to offer. Their guard goes down, your guard goes down, and they just naturally want to know more. You know, and you know, I hate to say it. Maybe I don't hate to say it, but I'll say it. You know, and it can't always just happen. You know, from home, you've got to be able to put it out there. You know, that means I think that every single person should have some kind of a live related event of some sort every month, even if it's at a local coffee shop. There should be some kind of a way that you can get in front of people live, see what they're responding to. You know, when I hung my first show at a Coffee Bean on Melrose, I would go in and I would sit and have a cup of coffee, and I would look at people who would stop and look at my work, and I'd walk up to them and ask them what they thought about it.
So smart.
You know?
So brave. So brave.
You know, you've got to be willing to just, you know, just say, I want to know what you think about that. What do you think about this one? And then eventually I would tell them I was the artist. But in the beginning, I just wanted to say, oh, they're noticing this one, and they're not looking at that one.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
It's the best marketing research case study you can possibly do. You know, you just have it out there in the world, and you let people, you know, let you know what they think about it, and then you respond accordingly, you know?
Wow. Amazing.
So,
amazing.
In that module,
amazing.
I teach techniques to do that, so it's a great way.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. So here we are, 4 minutes to the hour. I cannot believe that we have done this. It blows my mind that we've been on the phone for almost an hour. So I want to make sure we do a couple of things. I want to make sure that we talk about the three other modules that are included, and you have fabulous bonuses and a lot of great stuff that's going with this program. If you've joined us mid-call, I want to make sure that you go to artistscash.com. That's artistscash.com, artists, and then the word cash. And so let's talk a little bit about module, I'm going to list module 4, 5, and 6, and I'm going to tell people that they should sign up for the darn course if they're interested in these topics, because these topics are really self-explanatory, and you've given so many brilliant ideas already. I cannot imagine how content-rich this course is, because I've learned things, and we're just, you know, barely skimming the surface. So module 4, you help grow people their list of buyers, and you actually spend 2 weeks doing that.
Yeah, we actually have a bonus week on that, because there's so many different ways to actually grow your list. First of all, I can't emphasize enough about just having one to begin with. The first thing I tell everyone I work with that they should have, they should start it.
Yeah.
So I give you this one tip tonight. This is a freebie I'm giving you tonight. If you have a website already in existence and you want to start collecting names that come to your website, go to MailChimp.com. It's a free service. Get an HTML, you know, it's the easiest service to set up. You get an HTML code and you just plop it onto your website, or maybe your web designer can do it for you, or I'll show you how to do it in the course directly.
Right.
And start collecting email addresses and names, you know. Because that can be your wealth. I mean, one of my clients that I have said it was the greatest tip I ever gave him, and he was telling me that he was in Borders one day. He said the prettiest, sweetest sound he ever heard was his iPhone dinging every time someone paid him money on PayPal.
Oh, that's genius. That's really good. Of course,
so,
right?
Yep, it does.
That's great.
It's the sweetest song you'll ever hear. So do that right away.
I love it. So module 5, speaking of the ding of PayPal, is leveraging your talents for cash.
Absolutely. So again, this is where we really get into the nuts and bolts of what we discuss in modules 1 and 2. We start looking at how we can begin to package and present what we've uncovered in those first two modules. So if we're going to do a course, if you're going to decide to teach a course, we're going to name it. We're going to figure out what people want in the course. I'll show you how to do surveys. I'll show you how to basically create your opt-in page. I'll show you how to actually let people tell you what to name it. Gina gave a great tip last night. Let the survey tell you what to write in the sales copy. You know, it's a great way to actually begin to package your knowledge. I can't emphasize it enough. Everyone should have some teaching element as a part of their portfolio.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
It's a marketing tool as well as an income stream.
Yeah, it's genius. So module 6 is conversations that turn art into cash, and I'm certain that this is a block for a multitude of folks.
Oh, yeah. You know, money and what we charge and how much we ask for things, and just not even how much, but in the way you ask for it, you know, is something that a lot of creative people struggle with greatly. You know, we undervalue what we're charging. We don't, you know, we have a hard time talking numbers. We don't even know what our numbers are, what we need to make in order to even come up with the price that we come up with. This is where numbers are important, but this module is more about getting clear about how you talk about your work and getting you clear about your value. You have value, for God's sakes. Don't diminish that. You know, it's ironic that I'm talking a class on value and worth when that was one of the things I struggled with vehemently when I was, you know, when I started my business.
Well, and you've been in the shoes of the people who need you, so that's phenomenal because then you can understand. I think the scariest thing in the world is to learn from a teacher who's never been in your shoes.
Yeah, yeah. No, That one I know. It's something that I can't emphasize enough, so I love this too. It's a juicy one.
Yeah. So you get a slew of bonuses. You get templates. You get checklists. You get scripts. You get MP3s. You get a bonus Q&A call. You get 6 months access to a private online group. You get a ticket to the live event that many of the speakers in this telesummit series are speaking at, and it's all for a starting payment of $179 if they take the 3-pay option.
Yes, literally.
Genius.
It's a great deal. And the bonus that I want to offer, and I increase it to 5 people, for the first 5 people who sign up for the program, actually have a private 1-hour consultation with me prior to the class starting, and actually I will help you find at least 2 to 3 new income streams.
Oh, my Lord. So it's like, it almost leaves me speechless. You're going to help people find money to pay for this course. They're going to make more. Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, Rodney, it has been an utter freaking delight. I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, but we won't. People will be like, they have really bad boundaries. They've been on the phone for 24 hours talking about art and cash. What's going on over there? But it has been an absolute delight. Is there anything that you wanted to cover tonight that we didn't talk about?
You know, the only thing that I would just say is, you know, when I started my business, was literally made in a Borders coffee shop when I made the decision that I was going to tell my boss that I was going to leave my job. And didn't know where the next step was going to be, but it was literally boiled down to a decision. So I say this to say is that you don't have to always know the way. You just need to be willing to make the decision.
Yeah.
And if it feels right to you and you feel I'm the one that can help support you, make the decision. And I'll do everything in my power to support you to make sure there's a decision that works for you.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant. It almost makes me want to go act again, but fortunately, it doesn't completely make me want to do that because my life, I don't know. Maybe there's something for me to think about here, but I don't think I'm going to start going.
Discount it. Don't discount it. We need you where you are, Lucy, too, so...
What it does make me do, though, is want to talk to you about multiple streams of income. So we'll talk later.
All right,
I think I can take a lot of the stuff you're talking about and apply it to what I'm doing now. So it has been a joy to be with you all tonight. Thank you so much for those of you who are tweeting. We are going to be giving out more free event tickets. If you haven't marked your calendar for April 27th, you definitely want to because we are going to do something wild and crazy that night. It is not your normal telesummit. There will be cash and prizes, literally. So it has been a blast, and I hate to go, but we're going to do it. And until next time, you can catch Rodney at facebook.com/Rodney.L. Washington. Thanks so much, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Have a good night.
Bye.